بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are continuing with the episodes and reminders on Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the mu'mineen have succeeded, the believers have succeeded, and then Allah described them. The first 10-11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun. The first of those descriptions is, الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. Who are the mu'mineen? Those who have khushu in their salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us khushu in our salah. Now what is khushu? Khushu is, in translation wise, we say concentration, dedication, focus, and so on and so forth. Effectively, it is the ability to focus as clearly as possible on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His presence in our lives, His presence in whose presence we are standing when we are in Salah, especially to the exclusion of everything else. So the two parts to the khushu. One is to focus on standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the second one is to ignore everything else. Now this is where the difficulty comes in. I'm sure all of us understand that the exclusion of everything else is where the problem comes. And the more we think of excluding other things, the more it becomes a problem. And this is like there is a joke where there was this king who was bald. And he wanted very desperately to get hair. This was before, I'm sure this was before the hair transplant surgeries and so forth that we see today. So, those days they used to try to, use some oils and ointments and stuff. So, the king announced and he tried all kinds of things. And the king finally, he said, if anyone can get me an ointment or an oil which or whatever to get my hair back, then I will give him half my kingdom. But if he can't do that, then I will execute him. So, he was very desperate. So when it came to that, people, start getting worried because now the king is talking about executing people. So his prime minister said to him, I have something which I can give you, which will give you a hair back, which will bring the hair back on your head. Now the king, of course, he had already announced that if the thing failed, then he would execute the person. And he didn't want to execute the Prime Minister, so he tried to tell him, no, I don't want it. The Prime Minister said, no, I have this surefire thing. So finally, the king agreed, and the Prime Minister brought him an oil, and he said, here is this oil. Please put it on your head 3 times a day, and your hair will grow back, but there's one condition. So the king said, what condition? He said, as you put the oil on your head, you must not think of regrowth of your hair. So that is the condition. Put the oil on your head without thinking of the hair growing back. And if you do that 3 times a day, then your hair will grow back. Now, quite obviously, the king got the message which the Prime Minister was trying to give, which is to say that, look, forget about this thing. It doesn't matter. Because obviously, the moment he puts the oil on his head, why is he putting it on? Because he wants the hair to grow back. So, to keep his mind free from that thought is impossible. I think this is the kind of bind that we get into when we are in Salah. We want to concentrate, and maybe it's the very idea that we want to concentrate which prevents us from concentrating. And of course, there is the khannas. Min sharril waswasil khannas. We make this dua in Surah An-Nas, and we ask Allah to protect us from the khannas, whose job is to do this, is to put wasabis in people's hearts to distract their attention when we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing to for us to remember and think, therefore, is to a question to ask is, what should we do? Now, what works very well is to understand that, just imagine that you are sitting on your porch and there is a long garden that is stretching ahead of you, and almost at the bottom of the garden, somebody climbs over your fence and they are walking across your yard, and then they're going to climb over the other side of the fence and go away. Now, if you're sitting on the porch and you're watching this thing happen, as soon as this person comes into your area, into your land, if you call out to this person and say, "Hey, hello, who are you? What are you doing?" The moment you do that, then you will get engaged with that person. So he will reply, he will say something, and you will say something else after that, and whatever will happen will happen. But if you just keep quiet, then the man will go his way. He hasn't come to stay there. He's just climbing over the fence. He's going to walk across your yard and climb back over the other side of the fence, and he's gone. But if you engage with him, then you will find that you are spending a lot of time engaging with somebody who's of no interest to you. Now, this is the kind of thing that happens in salah. So, if a thought comes, don't engage with the thought, right? Don't try to chase it away. Let it come, let it go. Just leave it. Let the thought come and go. Thoughts will come. Let them go. Focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Focus on this. Keep this thought in the mind. I'm standing before Allah. That I can't see Allah, but Allah can see me. The part of Hadith Jibreel that relates to Ihsan, which we have seen many times. أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. To worship Allah as if you can see Him. فإن لم تكن ترى فإنه يراك. If you cannot see Him, you know that He sees you. So, to understand this and to keep ourselves focused on that and say, I cannot see Allah, but I am standing in His presence, جل جلاله, and I know that He is seeing me, and therefore, how must I be knowing that Allah is seeing me? Now, think about that. Those of you especially who have had the opportunity to do imamat in a masjid, you know how tough that is. It's not easy because if you are the imam, then everyone is listening to you, everyone is looking at you, and every single action of yours is being observed, is being assessed, and you feel very self-conscious. Another thing which happens many times, those of you who have prayed in the masajid in the Middle East, especially in Ramadan, there are live cameras in front taking pictures of the imam and the muqtadin as they are praying, and these are being live broadcast. So if you are standing somewhere in the front where you can see this camera, you might find yourself becoming extremely conscious about yourself, about how you are standing, you know, what you are doing. And then if your neck scratches, you will not put your hand up to scratch the neck, because the thought is that, you know, people are watching this thing live, and maybe my family will see me, or somebody will see me scratching myself as I am praying. So you will control that scratching. You will not raise your hand to do that. Now think about that. This is what we are doing, and may Allah protect us from all forms of riya, all forms of showing off. I'm not in favor of all this live broadcast of salah and so on, but leaving that aside, I'm using it as an example to illustrate this fact that if we are so conscious about a live broadcast of salah, how much more conscious should we be knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching? We are praying for Allah, we are worshipping Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and He is watching us, He is listening to us, but our thoughts are somewhere else. Now, how bad is that? Think about that. How bad is that? So, therefore, it is very important for us to keep this in mind and to ensure that we stay focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing which helps to get khushu in salah is to know the meaning of what is being recited. Just think about this, that, you know, you talk to a friend, you talk to your boss, your subordinate, somebody, and you don't find your attention wandering. Your attention is very much there. You're not daydreaming, you're not thinking of something else while you're talking to them, you're listening to them, they are listening to you. How does that happen? They are just human beings, there's nothing great about them. Yet when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are reading his kalam back to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the salah is like an intimate conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his slave. In that situation, my mind wanders, my attention wanders. Why is that? Because those of us who don't understand Arabic, we don't understand what we are saying. So if you do not understand what you're saying, obviously your attention will wander. Whereas when you're talking to whoever you're talking to, both of you are talking a language which both can understand. So there is no question of the thoughts wandering because you can understand the language. That's the reason why it is so important for us to learn Arabic, or at least to know the meaning of what we recite most often. So even if you don't know the language itself, at least try to learn the meaning of the surahs that you normally read, that you normally recite, or which are normally recited in the masjid. There are not that many of them. Most people have preferences for some surahs. So learn their meaning so that when the surah is being recited or when you're reciting it yourself, then you understand the meaning. And if you understand the meaning, you will find that it helps you to concentrate in salah. So one is to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing us and watching us and listening to us. And the second one is to remember the meaning of what is being recited and read and to focus on that meaning. I think these are the two important things. The third thing that I want to say is, actually I should have said that first, is to do proper wudu. One of the problems of concentration has to do with the wudu of the person. When a person has not done proper wudu, you find that his attention will wander because shaitan, he has no protection from shaitan. That's the reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the salah is the key to Jannah and wudu is the key to salah. So therefore, if we look at that, wudu is very, very important. And to do it properly, one must learn the faraid of wudu and make sure that you make correct wudu. And then from this wudu comes the rest of it, which is the actual salah itself and then the quality of salah. We ask Allah to accept from us our salawat and to make us among those whose dua is not rejected. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.